have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Who were lost, he heard praise the Lord. Welcome to For His Glory. I'm your host, Apostle John Breckenridge. I'm your host, Apostle Brian Blessingame. I'm here with the fabulous, my fabulous, awesome producer, Kimmy Kim. And, of course, the Lord is here with us. But he said in his word, where there was two or three gathered in his name, he will be in the midst. And we're just thankful, again, for another opportunity to be on tonight. We thank God for the listeners who do tune in. And we just pray that there's some kind of way that God will bless you through this word that we're going to bring forth tonight. And we pray that it finds a resting place in your heart, that it strengthens you in your faith, and that it removes all fears and all doubts that you may have in your Christian walk. That's what we're here to aim to do, to try to do the will of our Father and please Him, and to try to help those who need help. And at the same time, believe it or not, receive help as we try to give help, because there's some things that as I go forth in the scripture, God begins to reveal and he unlocks and he pours stuff into me that I may not have seen the first two or three or 15 times that I may have looked at a particular passage before. But God is amazing like that. So with further ado, we'll open up with prayer, and then we're going to tonight's discussion or lesson, if you will. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing and all that you're about to do. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, for the awesome producer, Kimmy Kim. We thank you, Lord God, for all that she does. We thank you, Lord God, for her diligent work. And we thank you, Lord God, for her patience. We thank you, Lord God, that you're blessing everything that she put her hands to. And we thank you for that. Father God, bless the people who are now tuning in. We ask, Father God, that the word does find a resting place within their heart, and that it will cause them to grow, that it will cause them to flourish, that it will cause them to multiply, that you be glorified in the earth. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we ask it, Lord God, that it be done in decency and in order, and that it be done for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, to God be the glory. I was honored and blessed not too long ago to do a podcast with a friend of mine. And we started out, I thought, very good. It was very good. We had a particular subject where we was talking about how Jesus go through certain lengths. He goes way, way out of his, he breaks barriers, really. He breaks barriers to remove the doubts of people so that they'll know who he is, and that they'll be able to have a relationship with him. The disbelief thing goes farther than what it goes different angles farther than what I expected it was going to go. But I'm going to call this one, and a lot of times I don't call them anything, but I'm going to call this particular one the lunatic, and there's a reason why. I'm starting off at Matthew 17, and we start off at the 14th verse. Let's just get started, because there's something that does came to mind as I was thinking about it. And it says that when they were coming to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for often he falls into the fire, and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and by fasting. Now what stood out, and even as I begin to read this, several other different things begin to stand out to me, and I don't even know how far I'm going to get tonight with this. But, in the 15th verse, it says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. Now, there's several different passages, Matthew, Mark, this is recorded in Matthew, it's recorded also in Mark, and then it's also recorded again in Luke. And I thought that Luke would have been the one who wrote it in this manner, but actually it's Matthew. Matthew was the taxpayer. Luke was the physician. So I'm thinking that Luke would have this term called lunatic, whereas Matthew wouldn't. The rest of them called it an evil spirit, a demonic spirit. And this term called lunatic caught my attention because so many times we have different illnesses. Woo. We have different illnesses, or they have different illnesses, or they have different types of disease, or they have different types of infirmities. That's the word I was looking for right there. I noticed that there are medical terminologies, and this one happened to be lunatic, which in the spirit realm is not actually a disease. It's not actually a medical term. Called it what it was. It was a demonic. It was a demon. So, as we were looking at this word lunatic, the host she had the definition, and it was a Greek definition of lunatic. It said loony, and it said unbehaved. And it said, unsound mind. And they said the Lord had begun to deal with them and started to download with them, or download to them, dealing with the word lunatic. And then they asked the question while we were doing the live, asked the question, how many times as women and men of God, like this word said, because he was lunatic, he often threw himself into the fire. He often threw himself into the war. We could actually say this spirit was a spirit of suicide. Mm. But the question that caught my attention was that she asked the question, how many times do we as Christians, believers, how many times do we throw ourselves in the fire? Meaning sin. How many times do we look at a particular thing, know it's a particular sin, and we throw ourselves into the fire? Well, my response I gave was a response of transparency. My response was, you know, early part of ministry, there was times that food, I got food, I got deceived. I got bamboozled, if you will, into thinking that from time to time I might be able to dibble and dabble in, I just go ahead and say it, in certain sins like fornication or whatever. And I share things like this in order to help others. But I share this to help others because I realize that there's somebody else out there that's listening that's probably got the same mindset that I had as well. A lot of times we feel like we can do certain things or throw ourselves into the fire and just go back and say, God, forgive me. And we think, we get confused, we get bamboozled, and we start thinking that there's not going to be a consequence to that falling into the fire. Yes. There's going to be a consequence to us when we throw ourselves into the fire or when we throw ourselves into the war. See, what we don't understand is that, yes, we can ask God to forgive us, but when you throw yourself into the fire, it's gonna take a minuet. It's gonna take a minute to heal from that burn. Even if we throw ourselves in the water, there may not be any water. I mean, there may not be a burn, but there may be some trauma. There may be some trauma. And see, what God brought to my mind was that a lunatic is somebody that's unbehaved, somebody that's unsound, somebody that's loony, and it says unbalanced. And what God brought to my problem, my attention is that the problem with the most of us is that we're not lunatics. I said that right. The problem of it with most of us is that we're not lunatics, we're not unsound, we're not unbalanced, we are well-balanced, we have sound mind. The thing about it is that we just want what we want. We just want what we want. So it's not a thing that we're unable. It's not a thing that we're unstable. It's a matter of choice. This young man had no choice. He had a demon that was throwing him into the fire. He had a demon that was throwing him into the water. And maybe some of us look at certain situations and say, why can't I stop this? Why can't I? And we probably feel like we're being thrown into this thing, but if God gives you instruction, he gives you that instruction because he realizes that you have control over this. It's not so much that that power, that demon is overpowering you. You have control, choice in this matter. But for some reason, we can believe for money, we can believe for house, we can believe for car, we can believe for everything, but there's something about wanting to overcome the works of the flesh that we allow unbelief to kick in. Either we have an unbelief that we can't overcome that, or we have an unbelief that we think that we're going to go ahead and do what we want to do. Excuse me, and God, and it's going to be all right with God. Time that in my early ministry, I tried that. And God, bless his holy name, God had a evangelist come through to the church where I was at. And as she was ministering to people, people was being slain in the spirit, and I was catching them. I know I've told this this testimony several different times, and I was landing on the floor politely, gently. And one time as I laid one person down, I came up, and when I came up, she grabbed me by the tie and wrapped my tie around her hand and pulled me to her. And she said, the Lord said, you cannot eat or you cannot drink of the Lord's table and of demons also. I know I've talked about it here on this podcast. I know I've talked about it in various different places. And when she spoke that word into my life later on, I would have visitations with God. God would visit me in the night. I would wake up, and I could feel the flames of hell. I could feel the flames of hell from my feet all the way to the top of my head, and all I could do was walk back and forth in my room until it was time for me to go to work. He would release me long enough for me to get ready for work. I'd go to work. I'd get ready to come. Well, sometimes I want to try to go to the gym and play ball, and he would tell me, go home. And I'd go home, and he'd tell me, read my word. And I'd read his word, and then I'd fall asleep probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock or so. About 1 or 2 o'clock, he's in my room, and I'm going through this thing again. And I think, I don't know how long it lasted. It may have lasted 3 weeks. Felt like more like to me three months or 3 years. But I know it was something that got all that mess. He got all that mess out of me. I'm saying this to say, he's able to keep those who want to be kept. He's able to keep those who are willing and want to be kept. Now, I don't know. I think I may have offended the host when I gave that part of my testimony because they deleted it from the page. But it won't be deleted from this page. It won't be deleted from this podcast because people need to know that there's consequences. There's consequences for operating in the flesh. The Bible said there's no one good thing in the flesh. It says if we sow unto the flesh, if we operate into the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. That's what the word said. I didn't write it. I did not write it. But that's what the word say. I believe what the word say because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in others' lives. So let's move from there to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And I know a lot of people have heard this. First Corinthians 10:13. It says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not, excuse me, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Then in 14 verses, it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, from idolatry. Listen, idolatry can be anything. And idolatry, a lot of times, comes through and by the works of the flesh. I ain't know I'm going to get into that, but here I am. He said right here in the 13th verse, he said that there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. With the temptation that comes to us, God makes a way of escape. The problem is that after he makes a way of escape, we don't. There are certain people that come into our lives and enter into our lives, and they bring forth a presence that will bring forth conviction. And people who are still operating more so in the flesh in certain areas, they're the certain, they will actually get rid of that particular person that God sent into their life to help strengthen them in weakened areas. Not only will they get rid of them, they'll get rid of them, picture, to make it seem like the one that God sent is the evil one. The one that God sent is bringing forth contamination. And my thing is, why are you going to be worried about contamination when pollution is reeking from you? And when God sent forth that, oh, especially if God sent forth a word, a warning, or correction, then you really, if God sent you, sent a word to you, threw you to a particular person to warn them or correct them, oh, they really got to get rid of you then. They don't want to line up with what God has said or what the word is saying to them. Let me go to Romans 13:14. Because God gives us instruction. And like I was saying before, if he gives us instruction, then we're really not lunatics. Romans 13:14. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provision. There's a difference between falling in the fire and making provision for the fire. You just, you know, you just going around and you just trip over, oops, bam, you know. A foul, that's a foul. But when you, when Johnny or Susie say, meet me at such and such and so, and you know Johnny or Susie ain't your husband, or you know Johnny and Susie is somebody else's husband or wife, and you go get with Johnny and you go get with Susie, you just made provision. If you have to move certain things out of the way, if you have to shut down certain things for 15, 20, or 30 minutes before you just made provision. That's not a fault. That's premeditation. I know I'm right. That's premeditation. And a lot of times we do this because we see something or we think the grass is greener on the other side, or we think that if we get into this particular predicament that we're going to get some kind of material gain, or we're going to get some kind of fame, or we're going to get some kind of fortune. But I guarantee you, I've seen it so many times, the works of the flesh last but for a season. That's what the words say. The pleasures of sin last but for a season. After that season comes, it comes going to be a time of reaping what you done sowed. And if you done sowed corruption, you go reap corruption. Oh, my God. You're going to reap corruption. And it don't matter how many times you tell a lie and you try to say, no, I didn't do it, no, this, that, and the third. God knows. The messenger that God sent knows. How come we can't be like David? Remember, David went after Bathsheba. David set up Bathsheba's husband to die. He put him on the front line. He called him home first so that he would go in and lay with Bathsheba. And by doing so, David was hoping that he would think that the child that he had impregnated Bathsheba with, he thought that her husband Uriah would think that it was his, but Uriah wouldn't even go in there and touch him. So then David had to come back, send him on the front line. He got killed. Now, listen, nobody knew what David was plotting. It didn't say that he discussed that deal with nobody. But this is the thing about David. When the prophet Nathan came, and the prophet Nathan told him in a parable, what would you do if somebody took a person's only lamb and slayed it when he had plenty of other ones of his own? What would you do? And David actually pronounced judgment on himself without realizing that he was pronouncing judgment on himself. And Nathan told him, thou art the man. David knew exactly what Nathan was talking about. And the beautiful thing about David is that he rented his clothes. He got in sackcloth. He repented. He confessed his so bold. They'll sit up there and lie, not realizing that when that messenger came from God, he's operating in the spirit of God. Not realizing by him being an oracle of God and speaking that warning, they don't realize that if they just stop and say, God, forgive me. If they just say stop and just say, you know what, brother, sister, I'm guilty, let's pray in order that I might be healed. That's what the word says. Confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. But instead, we try to look at the message like, you don't know what you're talking about. So we're gonna work in unbelief and not believe that God really sent the messenger on the message to you, knowing good and well the messenger and the message is for you. It is for you. But the thing about it is we're still wanting to hold on, and this is why I said what I said. We still want to hold on to the works of the flesh. And that particular work that we're working on holding on to, that thing, and we don't let go, God will look at that and judge that as an idol. I know what I'm talking about. Because that's the way he looked at me when I was working too many hours on my job. To him, it became an idol. My God. Anything that we bring before God, anything that we hold on to, long, if God said let go, you still want to hold on to it, in the eyesight of God, that thing becomes an idol. It don't matter. It becomes an idol. Matthew 6:20. Whew. I think I'm going to cut this a little short, and I may pick it up again next week. Matthew 6:20. I may have written, I'm sorry, Matthew 6:24. No man serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Yea, ye cannot serve God and mammon. God gives us a choice. It goes all the way back to the day of Israel, when they was out there in the wilderness. He brought them to the crossroads, and God told them, choose you this day, death or life. The beautiful thing that I keep seeing in that passage is that it's almost like an open book test. He tells them, choose life or choose death. And then he gives them the answer and say, choose life. Choose life. With that, I'm going to bring this to a close. So I'm saying to those who are out there, and maybe you feel like your back is up against the wall. Maybe you've gotten yourself into a situation that you feel like it's going to take God to get you out of it. In some cases, it does. It does. Sometimes we get too attached to certain things, and it does. It literally takes God to get us out of it. But if you're under the sound of my voice, first of all, if you're not saved, if you're not a born-again believer, I need you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. I come humbly but yet boldly to your throne of grace, dominion, majesty, and power. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And you said, because I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart, I shall be saved. So, Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I renounce Satan out of every area and every part of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on Snapchat. And you can also reach me on Instagram, Brian Blasingame. I didn't even make it too difficult to put the apostle on there. I just said Brian Blasingame, B-R-Y-A-N, Blasingame. I'd be glad to pray with you, pray for you. Now, for those who might feel like you just slipped up, you threw yourself in the fire, you feel like you are in a backsliding condition, if it's more than a feeling, you know you're in a backsliding condition, we pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift them up before you. We thank you, Lord God, that you allow them to know that they're not a lunatic. You allow them to know that they have a sound mind, and you allow them to know that they have enough power and they have enough strength to walk away. For your word said, as many of those who believed on you gave you power. You gave them power to become the sons and daughters of Christ. They have power. The minute they believed in you, you gave them power to become the sons and daughters of God. So they have power. They can walk away. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. They're more than conquerors through you who love them. I speak this word into their minds, their heart, their soul, and their spirit, that they may be delivered by the strong hope, by the imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of you, God. They can do this thing. They can walk away. We plead the blood of Jesus over their mind, body, souls, and their spirit right now. We command the blessing. We decree that the enemy let go of God's property. And we thank you in advance for giving them a greater testimony. In Yeshua Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we thank you for listening. My awesome producer, Kimmy Kim, thank you for the opportunity. We praise God for you. We love you, woman of God. We thank you, Lord God, for using her. As a matter of fact, Kimmy Kim, I'm going to be listening to you. I believe it's tomorrow, Shabbat, yes, Saturday, with Apostle P.D. Westbrook. I'm going to be listening. We wish you the best. So until next time, y'all, whatever you do, be sure to do it in decency and in order. But most of all, do it for God's glory. I'm Apostle Brian Blasingame. My awesome producer, Kimmy Kim, we say to you, good night. God bless. Amen.
Cross so that I can be free. I'm not the same because of your grace. You are amazing. You are amazing.
Couldn't find